Okay, Genesis chapter 12 again. Chapter 12. We studied this last Sunday night, the first five verses, and I think we saw very clearly how that this is a type. Abram here is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read it again here in verses 1 through 3. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. That's a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father in a covenant before the world began, a covenant, a meeting, an agreement, said to the Son to leave heaven, to leave his father's house and go into a land of sin, a land of shame, planet earth, to go to this land. In verse 2, he says, I will make of thee a great nation. God chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world, a people, a tribe, a kindred, a tongue out of every nation under earth, and Christ is the blessed one in whom we are blessed. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. Scripture says he's given Christ a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess he's Lord. And thou shalt be a blessing. All the blessings of God are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the blessing of God. Outside of Christ, we're under the curse. But Galatians says Christ was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 3 says, I will bless them that bless thee. He's going to bless all those that believe Christ, love Christ, and curse him that curseth thee. And 1 Corinthians 16 says, Paul said, any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. So this is a picture of Christ, isn't it? In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Like I quoted, a people, God has a people out of every nation, kindred, and tribe under heaven. And all these people are blessed and chosen in Christ. And it says that verse 4, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Abram was old, 75 years old. And our Lord Jesus Christ left heaven as the Lord, as they agreed. And he was eternal. He is eternal. Oh, yes, eternal. And it says he took with him, verse 5, he took with him his wife. And like our high priest, Christ had the names of his wife, his bride, his church on his breastplate with him. Doing whatever he did for his wife, his bride. And they went into Canaan, the land of Canaan. In the land of Canaan they came. And someday we're going to go into that fair and promised land with our Lord Jesus Christ himself. So there's a picture of Christ. Now let's look at Abraham as he, and Abram's his name now. It hasn't been changed yet. But let's look at Abram as the believer. Abram as the believer. God called him, God chose him, and he was faithful. That's the definition of a believer in Revelation 17. Called, chosen, and the faithful. I want you to notice four things about this text as we go through here. Four things. We're going to look at his call. We're going to look at his faith. We're going to look at his failure. And then we're going to look at his restoration. Abram's call, his faith, his failure, and his restoration. And I said before, and I'll say it again, and we could sum up the difference in the gospel that we preach as opposed to the what's being called gospel today.
in this way. We could sum it up this way. The gospel, our gospel, gives God all the glory. Not some of it. Not most of it. But all of it. A-double-L, all of it. That passage in Romans 11 describes it all. Of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. That sums up what we preach here. We give God all the glory for all things, especially salvation. God gets all the glory from man's salvation. Jonah 2:9 is our statement of faith. Salvation is of the Lord. Of the Lord, from start to finish. And the only reason I'm bringing this back up is so that you might see the difference. But today's gospel makes salvation a cooperative effort between God and man. Today's gospel says that God says, now I will do this if you will do this. I will elect you if you will believe. I will save you in the end if you stay faithful. Right? That's what today's God. That God does all He can do, and now it's up to you. That's not Bible. That's nowhere to be found in the Bible. And here in Genesis 12 is a classic example of this. In Genesis, it means beginnings. You'll find the beginning of salvation. The beginning of salvation. How God saves people. And you'll find that way. The way God saved. You'll find that He saves people the same way from then on. It never changes. So the things that are set forth in the beginning are carried on all through the Scriptures. God doesn't change. Malachi 3:16. He's not a New Testament God now. He had the old God, now He got the new. Malachi 3:16. I am the Lord. Change not. See, anything that changes means, why would a thing change? Why would you change something? Because that means it wasn't good enough to begin with. What that person was doing or who that person was, if they change, that means they got better, right? God doesn't change. And the way of salvation doesn't change. We're going to see that here in Abraham. In Abram, we're going to see that. It's not the gospel. Our gospel says God does the choosing. God does the calling. God does the saving. God's the one that stays faithful. That salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. From the planning of it to the applying of it to the finishing of it. He's the author and the finisher of the faith. The gospel, our gospel, is the way God saves, and it's consistent with every single scriptural account of salvation. Look it up. Every time somebody's saved in the Scriptures, you look and see how they were saved. They were headed down the road on their sweet, on their good way, their way. The Scripture says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end is death and destruction. The Scripture says all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every man his own way. But God. Now there's the gospel in two words, isn't it? But God. Today's gospel says, but you. Doesn't it? Today's gospel says, but you must do this. But the gospel says, but God stopped us. We're headed that direction. All who were children of wrath, even as others, but God stopped them, said, you're not going any further. Like Saul of Tarsus. And such was the case of Abram. All right? Was Abraham seeking God? Abraham's called the father of the faithful. Was he seeking the Lord? He was an idolater. He was dancing around an idol.
Or at least had some kind of God that he made up and believing in. He was an idolater. He wasn't seeking the Lord. He wasn't calling on the Lord. How, Cherry, shall they call on him on whom they've not heard? Now, what Roman sin said? He wasn't calling on the Lord. He didn't know who was the Lord. He didn't think there was one. Was Saul of Tarsus seeking the Lord? Huh? Was James or Peter or John seeking the Lord? Well, name somebody. Was Mary Magdalene seeking the Lord? Huh? She was sitting at a well one day, and the Lord sought her and found her. You find anybody? Jacob. Was he seeking the Lord? Our Lord was seeking him. Was Abram seeking the Lord? No. The Lord sought him and found him. The scripture says he leaves the 99 after that one lost sheep. See, lost is lost. And he comes and finds them. Says when he finds them, he finds them. Puts them on his shoulder and takes them back home. A joy in heaven of one sinner repentant. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. So our story here in Genesis 12 is a typical story of how God saves a sinner. A typical story. He does the choosing. He does the calling. He does the keeping. Now, there's a lot being made about Abraham's faith, isn't it? A lot of people. If 1,000 preachers, so-called, were to take Genesis 12 as their text this morning, 999 of them would never mention Jesus Christ's name. And 999 of them would give Abraham all the glory. You've heard them preached on, I have too. Well, I beg to differ. You're going to hear the one out of 1,000 that gives glory where it's due, that talks about who needs to be talked about. The God who saved Abraham, not Abraham. All right? Much is made of Abraham's faith. Now, he did leave. He did leave, didn't he? It says in verse 4, God told him to get out, so Abraham left. Good for you, Abraham. Good for you. It's a good thing. Is a man to be commended because he jumps out of a burning building? Well, let's congratulate this fellow. Is a man to be commended because he grabs onto a life preserver when he's drowning out and that man throws it? No, it's different. A man comes, swims out, Stan. He's drowned, and a man swims out and gets him, and the man grabs a hold of that fellow's neck, and the fellow saves him. Is that man to be commended because he grabbed the fellow's neck who saved him? Does everybody congratulate the fellow that was saved? Huh? Who gets the glory? The fellow that does the saving. Right? When a man realizes he's drowning, he's got to lay hold on eternal life. Right? He will jump. He will flee a burning place. Scripture even says that we will pluck this brand from the burning. Now, Abraham did leave. Yes, he did. He left his home, his family, not all of it, most of it. He did believe God. Yes, he did. And he became a pilgrim, traveling around. Yes, he did. Why? Now, there's the question. Why? Why would he do this? His call, verse 1. Here it is. Here's why he left. The Lord had said unto Abram, get out. Oh, but Abraham had to be willing.
No, it doesn't say that. He doesn't. You'll not find a request in any of these verses, will you, John? You don't find God saying, "Now, Abram, if you'll follow me now, I'll make of you." What do you say, Stan? Get up! Now that's an effectual call. The Lord made him willing in the day of his power. What's the day of God's power? What is God's power? Preachers today are saying, God's speaking, God's speaking, God's trying to tell you something. Let me tell you something. According to this book, the Word is called his power. And he upholds all things by the word of his power, the scripture said. It says that God, who caused the light to shine out of darkness by his word, he said, God spoke, let there be light. Was there? Was there a chance there wouldn't be? No way. It's the word of his power. When God speaks, he said, I've spoken it, I'll do it, didn't it? I've spoken it, it'll come to pass, Isaiah 46. Whatever God says is going to happen. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Abraham, get out. He got out. He got out. That's the call. That's the call of God. No requests, no pleas, no begging, no asking on God's part. This is the difference in what we preach and what the world is preaching. Did you notice all the way down through there, God says, I will, and you shall. You notice that? That's the difference. That's the difference between how God says and what they're saying today. The gospel says, God says, I will save them, and you shall be saved. I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. This is the Father's will, that every man he hath given me, I will lose nothing. This is the Father's will, that all which seeth the Son and believeth on him shall have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. I will, God says, choose a people. I will call a people. I will give them to my Son. He will save them. Call his name Jesus. He shall save them. They shall repent. They shall believe. They shall come to Christ. They shall remain faithful. They shall be with me someday. I will, and you shall. Do you like that? Find any fault with that? See, that's all this old sinner's hope. Because you're going to see in a minute, Abram failed miserably. He fell flat on his face. He absolutely humiliated himself. If you looked at Abraham, you'd have thought, ain't no way that guy's a Christian. You'd have said the same thing about David when you saw him doing what he did. You'd have said the same thing about Jacob every time you saw him. You'd have said the same thing about Lot. You'd have said the same thing about every single saint. Peter, denying the Lord. What's their hope of salvation? Salvation's of the Lord. They're kept by his power. Abraham failed, but his God didn't fail him. Who gets the glory for salvation? From start to finish. God says, I will and you shall. God called him. Verse 2 and 3, read it again. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee. In thee shall all the families in the earth. Sounds like it's signed, sealed, and delivered. Sounds like it's over. Sounds like known unto God all his works from the beginning. Sounds like God knows everything's going to happen. He does. Because he's the one in control. There ain't nothing left up to chance. People say it all the time, don't they? I believe everybody deserves a chance. If God gave them all a chance and nobody would take it.
Right? If you want to call it a chance, look at Adam. Adam and Eve. All right, here's your chance, Adam. Choose good or evil. Which do you choose? Evil. But that's not the way it is, you see. Now, I'm glad salvation is not by chance. I'm glad it's on purpose. Salvation is on purpose. God doesn't do anything accidentally. Things don't catch God by surprise. God does all things on purpose.
Learn that word, you've learned something of who the God of the Bible is. That old Barnard asked that woman one time, she said, I don't understand election, Brother Barnard. He said, all right, just let me ask you a question. He said, did God save you on purpose or was it an accident? She said, well, it's on purpose.
That's election, he said.
The call of Abram, like every believer, is sovereign. You taking notes? The call of Abraham is sovereign. God called Abram. Look back at chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 27. Chapter 11, verse 27. These are the generations of Terah. That's Abraham's daddy. Abraham's dad was named Terah. Terah begat three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begat Lot. Lot was Abram's nephew. But Abram had two brothers, Nahor and Haran. Haran died. All right, he still had a brother named Nahor.
Do you hear about Nahor going in, leaving his daddy? He didn't. Two boys in the same house, Deborah. God chose Abram and passed by Nahor. That's sovereign, isn't it? God says it in Romans 9. He said it in Exodus 33. I will be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. John, it was mercy that God chose Abram, wasn't it? Oh, Abraham thanked God for his mercy for choosing him later on. He didn't have to choose Abram, did he? I mean, Abram was an idolater. What did God need with Abram? He was an idolater. He didn't need anything with Abram. You say, well, he should have chosen Nahor. No, he shouldn't have chosen either one of them, Abram or Nahor. But God sovereignly chose Abram. Abram didn't have any trouble with that. He didn't have any trouble with that. He wished God had chosen Nahor, his brother. He loved his brother. But God didn't. Why?
That's God's prerogative.
God's call is sovereign. Many of you have experienced the same thing. I have a brother. You have brethren and sisters, don't you? Brothers and sisters. I don't see them here sitting in here in service, worshiping the same God. Why you? Because God's sovereign. And he chose you. And we praise God for choosing us. Spurgeon said, if God chose one person, that one person would be crying out through all eternity praising God for sovereign election, wouldn't it? If it was you. Steve Parks, if you were the only one, had all the human race saved, what would you be doing in heaven? Praising God for his sovereign election. Why me? You'd be saying that all the time, wouldn't you? The whole time. Why me? Why me? That's what we say, isn't it? Why me? Why me? Even so, Father, it seemed good in my sight. You know, there's a general call to all. The Scripture says that all have heard his voice to some degree. The heavens declare his glory. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Romans 1 says that they're all without excuse. When they knew God, invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're all without excuse. Every man, even the native in the jungle, can see that there's some sovereign, some marvelous one that's created all these things. Everyone has heard. Any man, woman, boy, girl, anywhere that would call upon this one, show me yourself. Reveal yourself. He revealed Christ to him and revealed the gospel. The gospel had come to him.
Yeah, it would.
I know it's so. I know. I've told you about Brother Milton going up into places where they'd never seen a white man before. Brother Walter going up where they didn't have a wheel. Yes. They didn't have wheels yet. Up in the jungles of Mexico. Primitive tribes. And one man, after it was all over and he heard the gospel and the Lord saved, he said, I know why the Lord sent you. Sent you that I'd hear the gospel. He even said he had a dream that some man would come in some big machine and tell him about God. Yes. There's a general call that all men see the sovereign providence of God, but there's an effectual call where God chooses people and says, now I'm going to reveal Christ to you. I'm going to reveal the gospel to you. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I have chosen thee and given you to Christ, and therefore you're going to know me. You're going to repent of your sin. You're going to know you're a sinner. Repent of your sin. You're going to believe on Christ, and you'll be with me throughout eternity. That's good, isn't it? It's sovereign. God's sovereign. His call is his effectual call is sovereign, is particular. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. Number two is to sinners. God's call is to sinners. Sinner. Abram was an idolater, wasn't he? He didn't come to call good people. God wasn't looking for good religious folk. Christ said that I'm not come to call the righteous. For Lord, I've been attending church all my life. I've been seeking the Lord all my life. It's too long. You're just too good. God doesn't save good people. He saves sinners. Why? Because he's going to get all the glory that way. A good fellow is going to get some of the glory with God. A really bad to whom much is forgiven, they'll love much, they'll worship much. He'll give him not much but all the glory. People in heaven are saying unto him, unto him, unto him. Not us, but unto him. He came to call sinners, not the righteous. Saul, who was later turned into Paul, said, I was before a blasphemer, injurious, and a persecutor. But I obtained mercy. Ask them all. What about old Zacchaeus? What about Mary Magdalene? What about all of them, the lepers and so forth? Sinners. Christ saves sinners. God chooses sinners. Abraham was an idolater. He wasn't a good man. He was an idolater. And Henry, he was 75 years old. Charles, he was older than you. He was old. 75 years old. Man's set in his ways by then, isn't he? Huh? You've run into a few of them. Then you're not going to tell them anything. Abram was old and set in his way and worshiping. He was a good old-fashioned, I'll tell you, he was a good old-fashioned whatever, Methodist or something. And you weren't going to get him out of it. God said to Abram, get out. Virgie's sitting there. She was, I don't know how old you were, 60, some odd, weren't you, when the Lord revealed the gospel to you? Old, anyway. Now, buddy, it takes the grace of God, it takes the power of God to root out that old religion, to tell a person to get out of there when they're stayed in their religion and their tradition. It takes the power of God, doesn't it? Power of God. And this call was to worship. Look at verse 7 and 8. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Thy seed. Who's that talking about? What's this all about? Do you study the Scripture? Have you ever read over in, have you not read over in Galatians chapter 3 where it says, listen to this, listen, just listen, you don't have to turn. Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was talking about this very incident here. In Galatians 3, verse 16, now, listen, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. God said, and I'm quoting Galatians 3:16, God saith not to seeds. Abram's children and grandchildren were many. It's not to seeds as of many, but as of one. Seed. And to thy seed, which is Christ, Paul said. What's Abraham's story all about?
Jesus Christ.
What's salvation all about? Who's it all about? Who's it from? Who's it from? Who says who? Jesus Christ saved Abraham. We saw that Wednesday night, didn't we? And my pastor quoted that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. See, the Jews, this was a stumbling block, wasn't it? Their tradition. Well, we're keeping the law. We're keeping the law. Paul went to great lengths in Galatians, didn't he, Jeanette, to tell them that Abraham was saved before there was a law. 400 years before there was a law. Didn't he? Didn't he hear? He wasn't circumcised yet. There were no Ten Commandments yet. No Sabbath to keep. What day are you going to keep, Abraham? I don't know. I'm just going to worship God today. Better be Saturday. Why? Because that's the Sabbath. Who said that? It wasn't yet made yet. How was Abraham saved? Jesus Christ, that's how. Faith in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7 and 8. It says, he got to this land, and there builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Who appeared to him? No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared. Make an altar.
What are you going to put on it, Abram?
I don't know.
Oh, yes,
he knew.
Just like Adam knew, just like Abel knew, just like Noah knew.
Going to put a lamb on it.
Going to put blood on it.
The Lord told him what it's all about. Substitution. Your Redeemer's living, Abram. And he's going to put away your sin by the sacrifice of himself. Going to make propitiation for your sin on the mercy seat in heaven itself, blood of the Lamb. There's a Lamb that's been slain before the foundation of the world, Abel. And this is just a type of Him who's to come and save you from your sin. If you, every time you sacrifice a Lamb, you remember, you look to, you think upon this one who's coming, God's Lamb, to save you from your sin. Abram knew.
Oh, yes.
Christ said, I am the way. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Right? And Christ said to those Jews one day, they said, who do you think you are? Are you greater than our father Abraham? He said, before Abram was, I am. Abram rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Christ is better than Abram. He's better than Abram. And so God called Abram to see his son, to worship the son, to worship Christ. And he did it there at that altar. And the name of the place was Bethel. Bethel means house of God. House of God. You remember where Jacob came back? Where the Lord changed his name? Remember where Jacob had that dream of the ladder going up to heaven? That Christ said that I, here in 2 you say you see the Son of Man ascending up to the glory and the angels of heaven ascending up in the Jacob's ladder. Where was it? Bethel. What's Bethel? The house of God. The tabernacle of God. What's the tabernacle of God? Jesus Christ. Who tabernacled among us. It's Christ. Saw Christ here. Whole stories about Christ. Evil Abram's sin down there. It says that you say you're my sister and it'll be well with me. Even that's a picture of Christ. Even that's a picture of Christ. He's not ashamed to call me brethren, John. Therefore, it's well with me.
boy.
It was effectual, too. This call was effectual. Did Abraham leave? Verse 4 says he left. He left. Well, did he make it? Did he make it to Canaan? He made it. Into Canaan he came. What about Abram's faith? I told you I was going to say that. Abram's call was of God. What about his faith? Where did he get it? Romans 10 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Well, how are they going to call him whom they not heard or believe? How are they going to believe in him whom they not heard? How are they going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to preach except they be sent? And that's quoting Joel 2:32. It says, as many as the Lord our God shall call shall be saved. Who's going to call? Who's going to believe? Where's faith come from? Ephesians 2:8, faith is the gift of God. And that's sovereign too. That's sovereign too. And it's persevering. Did Abraham believe in the end? Sure he did. Why? Because the scripture says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Whatever he gives, he never takes back. If he gives you faith, you're going to have it. He's never going to take it back. Here's salvation, Henry. God never taken no for an answer.
You remember that? Huh? We said no in the beginning, didn't we? Here's the gospel. I heard it as a young man, 18, 19, 20 years. Well, I heard it all my life. And I said, no, I don't want that. John, one day God said, you're going to say yes. I was made willing in the day of his power. I heard it one day, just like I'd heard it before, same message. And the day before, I said, no. That day, I said, yes, that's the gospel. I believe. Why? Who made the difference? The answer's in the question. Who? Who?
What sort of, and let me ask you this question. Abraham's faith, where did it come from? Came from God. Not Abraham's decision, God's decision. God's decision. Not Abraham's call, God's call. Now, Abram was just a man, wasn't he? Just a man, like any man. Sinful, unbelieving, God-hating, fickle, finite, a failure. A man. But God chose him and set his love on him. Granted him repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, kept him by his power from that day forward. What sort of man did Abraham become? Abram. What sort of man did he become? A lot of people like to make a great to-do of, you know, what they were, and now look at me. That's all these testimony meetings are. People bragging on what they now are. Right? Oh, I used to be a drunk. Oh, how bad a drunk were you? Drunk? Drunk. Bad drunk. Beat my wife. Beat the dog. Beat the kids. Beat myself. Beat up people. Bad, bad drunk. Bad, bad. But now, the Lord Jesus saved me. Look at me now. Yeah, look at you. You're a stinking, self-righteous Pharisee. That's what you are. You're worse. I like you better as a drunk. You're holier than thou. What sort of man did Abraham become? Well, he followed God, yes. He followed God. He grew in grace and the knowledge of God like every believer does, yes. He became like Christ, yes he did. He became like his Redeemer in character, yet he was still a man. Still a sinner. There was still a law warring in his members. He was still a fickle, finite failure. And the story proves it, doesn't it? He fell. Verse 10 says there was a famine, and he ran out of the land of Egypt. He went down to Egypt, ran out of the land of Bethel, Canaan, where God told him to go. God didn't tell him to leave there. But a little trouble came up, and he ran. Famine was sore. Well, God didn't say it'd be He said, you must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of heaven. Abram ran. He resorted to reason, arm of the flesh, didn't seek God, didn't trust his God, didn't depend on his God. Now, we're talking about the Father of the faithful here. Didn't depend on God, didn't seek God's will, God's face. He went to a place where he shouldn't have been, Egypt. God wasn't down there. God wasn't being worshipped in Egypt. This is a picture of every believer who at one time or another ignores God's word, ignores God's leadings, ignores God's providence, leaves the place of God's blessing, and resorts to human reason to further themselves. You've done it. I've done it. And look at what happened, verse 11 through 13. It came to pass when he got to Egypt, or got near to Egypt, he pulled his wife Sarah aside and said, wait a minute, you're a good-looking woman. And these Egyptians now, they love good-looking women. And they're going to find out you're my wife, and they're going to kill me. Tell them that you're my sister. Ruth, tell them you're my sister, verse 13. Why, Abram? To save me. He'll be well with me. They're going to kill me. Hey, the father of the faithful, great Abraham, who left his father's house. Look at him now, shriveling little coward. Turn his wife over to some pagan heathen. What kind of a cow? You miserable. What do you think Sarah thought about? Sarah, what do you think of Stan from that day forward? Huh? With that miserable little creep, we'd all be bragging on Stan, you know. Stan, oh, he's a faithful fella. Huh? What, Rebecca, what would you think about Terry? Oh, they're going to kill me. Let them have you, but don't let them kill me. What a great man. What a miserable little sinner. A no good, wretch. That's God's man? Is that God's man? Yeah, it is. God was about to bring him down to his lowest point. God was going to break this fellow. Evidently. We'll see it tonight. Come back tonight and you'll see a little more about this. Evidently, he must have got lifted up with a little bit of pride. Here, that's what happens. Every time, pride goes before a fall. He must have thought, hey, God chose me. God's going to bless me. Hey, I'm sovereign. I'm a Calvinist. Hey, I know something nobody else knows. I'm somebody. And came a theologian. He fell. Great, failed miserably. Denied his Lord. What's his hope, John? God remained faithful to him. What's Abraham's hope? His faith? Huh? Amy, was Abraham's hope his faith? If I can just keep on believing. He didn't. He failed. What's his hope? God didn't deny him. God remained faithful. He won't deny his promise. Right, John? God promised him. What's my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, not even my faith, not my, none of that. But wholly lean on his name, Savior. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in that overwhelming flood. When all around me my soul gives way, I fail miserably. What was Peter's hope? Huh? When he denied the Lord. What was his hope? Christ said, I've prayed for you. You're not going to fail, Peter. You're not going to fail. You're going to fall, but you're not going to fail. You're going to fall many times, but you're not going to stay down. I'm going to lift you right back up. Look at his restoration, and I'll quit.
his restoration. Abram left God, left the place of blessing, ignored God's word. Where's he going to find any comfort? Got in a mess, got down there in Egypt, got in a mess. Rich, that was no... Henry, his conscience, don't you know his conscience was killing him? Oh, he had him a new car, he had a new house, he had him a new job, he had him all these things, you know, houses and lands. And, but his conscience, his sin was ever before him. He found no comfort in those things. And God turned it all around and said, Abram, he had to tell him to get out of there too. Told him by a man, that get out of here. You don't belong here. You're not like us. Get out. Where did he go to find comfort? Huh? Where did he go? Where did Abram go? He left Egypt. Where did he go? Back where he started. Back where he heard the gospel to begin with. Back to Bethel. Went right back to Bethel, chapter 13. It says Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife, all he had. Lot went with him to the south. Abram was very rich, went on his journey from south, even to Bethel, the place where his tent had been in the beginning, where he should have stayed to begin with. And what did he do? Verse 4. Got back to that altar. I know a place. I have failed miserably, Abram said. I failed miserably. I left my God, left the place of worship. I found nothing but an old rotten sinner and no good. Sarah said, amen. I need some comfort, some hope. I'm a failure. I'm going to go back where I heard the gospel and worship again. See if God will have mercy on me again. Went back there and God spoke comfort to him again. Abram. Chapter 13 says, Abram, God didn't even bring it up. His sins and iniquities, God didn't remember. Didn't even bring it up. Abram, you shouldn't have done. Look at you now. No, he didn't bring that up. He went on down to say, Abram, I'm going to make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Thy seed shall be numbered, great in number. I'm going to bless you. Just repeated the promise to him again. Just told him the promises again. Abram, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. And thy seed, which is Christ. Right? Well, Abram was called by God. He was chosen by God. He was just a man. He was just a man. He was a miserable failure. But like David, David encouraged himself in his God, the Lord his God. Back where he started, back where he heard the gospel to begin with. Abraham found his God to be faithful. Abram, great faith. Great faith. Great Savior. There's the difference. Did you pick a song out, Brother Joe? You got one? What number? 233. We'll stand as we sing. 233. First and second stanza.